This is HPR episode 1976 entitled, Introduction to SED, Part 1. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 44 minutes long. The summary is, what SED is and how to use it in a simple way.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everyone, this is Dave Morris. I'm going to talk to you today about the SED program. Now, you probably know what SED is, but just in case you don't, it's an editor. It expects to read a stream of text and then apply some action to that text and then send it out to another stream. So it filters and transforms the text along the way, and you can control what it does by giving it instructions. The instructions are referred to as a SED script. So the name SED, as you might well have guessed or probably know, is based on the words stream editor because of that the process I just described. And SED was originally developed between 1973 and 1974. And it was a Unix utility by Lee McMahon, I think you'd say it, or McMahon, I don't know how you'd pronounce that name. If it was Irish, it would be McMahon, I think. Anyway, he was in Bell Labs, and he came up with this. Then, in later times, the GNU project has enhanced SED, and it's really GNU SED that I'm going to be talking about. There's quite a lot of new features been added in GNU SED, and there's much better documentation. Though one of the things about the GNU project is that a lot of the documentation is available mainly through the info command, not through the man command. And I'm not a great fan of info myself. You might think otherwise, but anyway, there's a full manual in enormous detail which is available on the web, and I've linked to it in my notes. So let's look at using SED in a basic way. The command is SED, S-E-D, and it's usually, it's invoked from the command line, naturally enough, and it's usually given a SED script on the command line, and an input file is nominated there. So I've given an example which consists of SED, the command, space, minus E, space, then in quotes, /old/new/ followed by infile, a greater than sign, and outfile. So what we have here is the minus E thing. It introduces the SED script, and it's enclosed in quotation marks. You don't actually always have to enclose it in quotation marks, because it depends on whether it's got spaces in it or other shell-related characters. But throughout this, I'm just going to use quotation marks all the time because I think it's just a good habit to get into. The file infile in this example is the file that's going to be read and edited. And in this particular case, the result is written to an output file, but normally it's just written to standard out. So the greater than sign here is redirecting standard out into this file I've called outfile. This is not doing anything useful, it's just to give you some idea of the structure. So in this episode I'm using a small file of text, which is the contents of which are listed in the notes, and it's also available on the HPR site for this particular show. The text is just pulled from the About page on the HPR site. the file I've called sed_demo1.txt. If the input file is missing when you invoke sed, then it expects its input to come from standard input. So I've given an example of a sort of pipeline you might type on the command line. And if you're not aware of what a pipeline is, it's where you type multiple commands on the command line and you join them together so that the output of one is processed as the input of the next. So in this particular case, I've got WC, that's the word count command, space minus L, that's asking for the number of lines in the thing it's counting, and I've given it the file sed_demo1.txt as its input. So we've asked how many lines there are in this file. But because the WC command, if you run it in this way, returns you an answer that consists of the count followed by the name of the file. Because it does that, I'm piping the result into a sed script. And so there's a vertical bar, which is the connector, the pipe symbol. And it's followed by sed, S-E-D, space, minus E. And then in single quotes, we have /$.$. Close quote. So what that actually does is it removes the file name. So as I said, WC would generate 13, because it's 13 lines in this file, space sed_demo1.txt. If you actually just want the 13, then this piece of sed script will strip out the file name bit from it and just return the number. It's a very artificial example, this, because it just so happens if you run WC without giving it a file, but with telling it to take its input from a file by redirection. So WC space minus L space --, sed_demo1.txt. You'll get back the answer 13, because it's coming, that's causing Bash to feed the file to WC on its standard in channel, and so it never sees a file name per se. So as you might imagine, the sed command takes a bunch of options, which we'll deal with a few here just now, but we'll be looking at more in further episodes of this, and I'm planning on at least about 4 episodes, possibly 5, on this particular subject. It's hard to know how many episodes are going to take. I haven't mapped them all out yet. I've only got about as far as number 3. And it looks like there's going to be several more. Anyway, the options you're most likely to see, we've already seen one, the minus E option. Minus E is followed by a script, and it stands for expression. You can also put two hyphens, double hyphen expression, the word expression equals, and then the script. So this is the way you define the sed commands to be executed, so the so-called sed script, as I've been using. You can have minus E followed by a script multiple times in your sed command, and it just concatenates them all together. But we'll look at this in more detail later. There's the other option is minus F, lowercase in both cases, I should say, and that's followed by the name of a file. The alternative is minus minus file equals and then the name of a file. This defines a file that contains the sed commands. And you can have multiple files, and you can also combine that with the minus E variant if you wish. The final option is minus minus help, which gives you some basic help on how to use sed. If you don't provide any options at all, if there's no minus E, minus minus expression, minus F, or minus minus file, then the first non-option argument is taken to be the sed script. So you can actually just type sed and then put the script. I don't really know why you would choose one over the other. I just like to use the minus E personally, just to make it completely unambiguous. After the script, in this case, all the remaining arguments are names of input files. You could have more than one input file. And if there's no input file at all, then we read from standard input. We've already seen this in brief. So it's worth looking at how SED actually works. And this is quite a large subject, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. I'll pick up on this later. But it's useful to have some sort of concept of how SED works at this stage, I think. So SED takes in commands or scripts in its own editor language. It takes them from the command line or from file, and it stores them. It concatenates them all together and stores them. It then processes the data it's been given through the input files, plural, or piped to it on standard in. And it reads this one line at a time, and each line is placed into a structure, an internal structure called the pattern space. Then SED runs the saved commands on the pattern space. So you might have just the one command. We've only seen one so far. But you might have a whole file of them that you want to apply to the data. So it applies all of the commands to the pattern space, which contains sequential lines from the input sources. There's quite a range of available commands. There are conditional commands as well, but we'll leave them till quite a bit further on down the road in this series. The commands may change the data in the pattern space. In most cases, that's the point of running SED in the first place. You're changing the data. But it won't change all lines. It'll change the ones that you've asked it to. Anyway, once all the commands have been executed on a given line, the contents of the pattern space are printed. The pattern space is cleared, and then the next line from the input source is read. Now, the printing of the pattern space is the default behavior, but it can be overridden, and we'll look at that later on. So that's it in a nutshell. You can gather there's a fair bit more, but that's enough to be getting on with. But it's useful to have that concept in your mind, I think, to understand what SED is actually doing. So let's look at simple SED scripts in this particular case. And we'll just concentrate on what's really the commonest SED command, which is the S command, which is short for substitute. So you've already seen me using it, though I didn't explain a lot about it. It consists of the structure an S, a lowercase s, a slash, then it's then followed by a pattern, which is a regular expression. In the notes, I've spelt it REGEXP or regex. Then another slash follows the regular expression. Then a replacement. That's the thing that is going to replace the pattern if it's found. And that's then followed by a final slash and optional flags. The power of SED, it really exists in the regular expression matching, so it's really quite important to understand the basics of regular expressions anyway, which is what we'll look at shortly. The flags, just going back to them, are used to modify the behavior of the command, and we'll just look at one particular flag in this episode, but there's more to come in later episodes. So let's look at simple regular expressions. A regular expression is a pattern which is used to match a string. And a regular expression is a sort of a language. People would say, I think, that it's quite an obscure language, but I hope you'll find that it becomes clearer as we go through this. And I've put together a table of some of the various parts of the regular expression language, if you like to call it that. In a table in the notes. These are the long notes I'm talking about. There are various so-called meta characters which are used in the regular expression. First of all, let's look at the case of any character. Any character which is not a meta character, and we'll deal with the meta characters in a minute. Any character that you put in your regular expression that's not a meta character is just treated as that character. So a letter A means I want this pattern to contain a letter A. The next one is a dot or a full stop or a period if you're American, and that is a generic meta character which matches any character in the pattern space. Then The asterisk is the next example, and that is a modifier which, when placed after another character, a meta character or an ordinary character, says apply that particular expression, if you want to call that the letter that you're talking about, an expression, the meta character an expression, match it zero or more times. So the preceding item is to be matched zero or more times. I'll expand on these with examples in a minute. Then there's square bracket followed by a list and a closed square bracket. And what this does is it matches any single character in the list between the square brackets. So, for example, open square bracket, A-E-I-O-U, close square bracket, means that you're prepared to match any vowel in your pattern space. The other variant of this is after the opening square bracket, you put a caret character, put an upward arrow thing, and then the list. And that reverses the meaning of list. So it matches any single character which is not in the list. Then the next example of an expression is the caret or the up arrow or on its own. What that means is your pattern, your regular expression, is to match the beginning of the line. So it's an anchor, meaning beginning of line. An equivalent one is the dollar sign, which matches the end of the line and anchors the search at the end. So let's go into these in a bit more detail. If we look at the simple character matching form, if we were using it, all of these examples are going to be using the S command. So if we take the example ABC as a regular expression, that just matches any string which contains the characters ABC in that order. It doesn't matter whereabouts the ABC exists, when we're just dealing with it in this form. So the example is S/ABC/DEF, /, final/. This will find the first occurrence of ABC and will change it to DEF. We're talking here about a literal A, literal B, literal C. There are no meta characters in here at all. But if we move on to the case of matching arbitrary characters, using the dot character, as we saw earlier, it matches any character, so we could search and change the string ABC or AAC or any other three-character string beginning with A and ending with C with the S command, S/A.C/DEF/. So what that's saying is, any sequence of characters that begin, three characters, which begins with an A and ends with a C, want to be changed to DEF. Then you might be asking, well, what do you do if you actually want to match a literal dot full stop character? Well, the answer to that is, you need to tell said that you're not wanting to use the dot as this meta character, the match anything character. And you do that by proceeding with the backward slash. So that tells the regular expression parser that you don't want it to have this meta character function. So my example is, if you had the string 17.30 and you wanted it was a time which had been mistakenly typed without the standard colon between the elements, so it's meant to be 17:30, then you would type the command /17.30/17:30. Slightly artificial, I know, but it will certainly find the sequence of characters 17.30 and change it to 17:30. Now moving on to the asterisk character, which means zero or more of the preceding expression. We can then match sequences of variable length. Remember, it's zero or more that we can match. So if we are looking for a sequence of characters, say for example, we're prepared to match with BC or ABC or AABC or AAABC, then using the command S/A*, bc/def/. What that means is the A followed by a star means you're prepared to match, you want to match 1, 0 A's up to any number of A's followed by B and C. Remember, the star means 0 or more instances of the preceding item. If you actually need to indicate a literal star, asterisk, then, surprise, surprise, you escape it, as the term is, by putting a backslash character in front of it. So you stop it being a meta character, and you want to match a literal asterisk. So the next case is when we want to match sequence of characters which are in or not in a set of characters. So remember, we saw the open square bracket followed by a list of characters, close square bracket expression. So if we wanted to match the letter C followed by any vowel followed by T and then replace it with D-O-G, then we would use the expression S/C, open square bracket, A-E-I-O-U, close square brackets, T/D-O-G/. So that will find any instance of C-A-T, or C-E-T, or C-I-T, or C-O-T, or C-U-T, and replace them with D-O-G. So the thing in the square brackets, the list, matches just one character in the form that we've used here. If we look at the other form of the list format, the list expression, then it's open square brackets followed by an up arrow or a caret. I tend to call it up arrow, by the way, but it is officially a caret, C-A-R-E-T character. Anyway, the up arrow list, close square bracket, it matches any character not in the given list. So, for example, my example shows we're looking for the sequence open round bracket, open parenthesis, followed by any sequence of characters which are not a close parenthesis, followed by a close parenthesis. Okay, so we've got S/ open parenthesis, open square bracket, up arrow, close parenthesis, close square bracket, star or asterisk, close parenthesis, slash, then open parenthesis, example space 1, close parenthesis, slash. Now this might look confusing at first glance, but it's a common type of expression used in SED and elsewhere where you would use regular expressions. We're matching an open parenthesis followed by any characters which are not a closed parenthesis, followed by a closed parenthesis. So anything in parentheses, any sequence of characters in parentheses are going to be matched by this expression. And then we replace what we find by the text, open parenthesis, example 1, closed parenthesis. This is a sufficiently generic way of expressing a thing that says, take that bracketed thing and replace it with this particular string. Now, if you had a piece of text where the parenthesized sequence spanned two lines, this is not going to work because SED is a line-oriented editor and it's not going to see the closed parenthesis on the line that it's read in. So that's an issue. There's something you need to be aware of. So this list construct, this list expression, can just be a list of characters like we've seen. We put the vowels, for example, but it can also be a range. So, for example, 0-9, that means all of the digits from 0 to 9 inclusive. So that's quite powerful. You can save yourself some typing that way. So my example shows a case where you're dealing with, you're looking for a string that begins with a capital A followed by a digit, one digit, and the digit is any digit between 4 and 6. So it's S/A, open square bracket, 4-6, close square bracket, /AN. So this will replace A4, A5, or A6 with AN. So finally, in this brief look at regular expressions, we have the use of the up arrow and the dollar to anchor at the start or end of line. So the up arrow character, which is also called circumflex, I'd forgotten that when I was mentioning it earlier. It's also called caret, I think. When it starts at the beginning of a regular expression, it means the start of a line. We saw it being used as a negation in the square bracket list thing, but it elsewhere it indicates at the beginning of a line, it indicates the start of the line. If you use it elsewhere in the line in your regular expression, it indicates itself. It's just itself. The character dollar, the dollar sign, when it occurs at the end of a regular expression, indicates the end of a line, and if it's used elsewhere, it just is a dollar character. So if you look at an example, S/UABC/DEF, then it will find and replace the sequence ABC at the start of a line only, and we'll replace it with DEF. If we wanted to replace ABC at the end of a line, we would use S/ABC$/DEF/. So looking further at the S command, remember after the regular expression is the replacement. We've seen lots of examples, but mainly DEF we've been replacing things with. But there's a little bit more to be said about this replacement. It's been very simple so far. We can make it a lot more complex. We'll go into more detail later on in the series, but for now we'll just look at the ampersand, the AND character. The AND character denotes the whole matched portion of the regular expression part of the command. If you want to have an actual ampersand character, then you have to escape it with a backslash. So we take the example S/ABC/DEF. What that means is you want to replace the string ABC with itself plus DEF. So you can regard that as replacing ABC with ABCDEF. And there's an example that shows the literal ampersand. So S/fruit/apple/\pears/ means you want to replace the word fruit with apples and pears. But if you forgot to put the backslash before the ampersand, you would find that it's substituted in the original regular expression match. So there's an example in the notes where we echo the string eat your fruit !! To said, and then say, as it's a full command, this one, this particular case, /fruit/apples/\pears/. So this is the case where the backslash has been forgotten. So the result is the string eat your apples, fruit, pears. So it's replaced the ampersand with the thing that was matched in the first place, the word fruit. Okay, I hope that's clear. So I said we'd look at one example of flags in this case, and we'll look this time at the G flag. So that happens, that's placed after the replacement part of the S expression. The S command, I guess, is a better way of putting it. And what this does, it causes the replacement to be applied to all matches, not just the first. So G stands for global. Make this change globally in this line. So S/ABC/DEF/G, that means that all instances of the sequence ABC will be replaced with DEF in the current line. And as we already saw earlier, if you don't put the G on the end, you just replace the first instance. So finally, let's just briefly look at how you would structure things so that said read its commands from a file. And we've seen already that you use the minus F option. Normally you would lay out the commands in the file one per line, but you don't have to. The one per line separates out the commands. The end of line is the sort of command separator. But you can put multiple commands on a line if you want to. if you do that, you need to separate them with semicolons. So I've shown an example here. I hope it's not confusing. I was looking at it again. It looks slightly advanced. But I'm using a feature of Bash, which I haven't covered in the Bash tips series that I've been doing. It's called the HereDoc function. It's a way in which you can provide what's effectively a file to a command simply by typing the lines after the invocation of the command, but you need to enclose that chunk of a script with some extra features, which I'll talk about now. So in my example, I've got sed space minus f space and then a minus. What that means is there isn't a file at all. I want you to read from standard in as if it was a file. Minus f space minus, followed by a space sed underscore demo1.txt. So I'm using the example file that I mentioned before. That's then followed by two less than signs, no space in between them, so it's less than, and then the word END in capitals. Now that END is merely a label that says, right, the HereDoc, as it's called, which is a sort of temporary file, is all of the lines from this point in the script to a line that begins with the word END in capitals. So you put anything there you like, but you have to match it exactly to at the end of everything to terminate the included stuff. So following that line, I put /\dot\!g. So what that says is replace all full stops with exclamation marks throughout each line and do it for every line. Then the next line is /community with a lowercase c /community with an uppercase c /. So what that says is replace in the first instance of lowercase community with uppercase community on a given line. And the next line in my example is capital END. So what that's doing is it's slurping those commands into sed's command storage, and it's getting them from the lines that you type. You can type this on at the command line if you want to, but it's amazingly inconvenient thing to do. And as I've shown in the example afterwards, you could just as well do this by making a command using a quoted string. So sed space minus e space open quote, and then the first line of the commands. I won't read them out again. Then a new line, then the second line of the commands, a close quote, space sed underscore demo1.txt. So it's not particularly... You will see this done. This was partly why I'm referring to it here. But in the majority of cases, it's better to actually create a sed command file. And you would do that as you would create any other text file, such as using an editor. I tend to give such files an extension of .sed, which helps remind you what it is. It's also useful if you're using more advanced editors that check the extensions of files to determine how to handle them. For example, in Vim, if you do that, it considers this to be a file of sed commands and will highlight them appropriately. So in my final example here, I've assumed that a file called commands.sed has been created, and the first command is to cat that file so you can see its contents, and it's the same two lines as we've already seen. Then the last command is sed space minus f space commands.sed space sed underscore demo1.txt, and that then runs the commands in that file against the example file that I'm using here. I haven't shown you what this produces. You could easily run this yourself. Well, that's the whole point of me including a copy of the file for you to experiment with. So I'm going to finish this episode by going through some examples and The examples hopefully contain enough explanation in the notes to explain the various features that I'm trying to demonstrate. The first one is the one we've already seen. Example one is the WC command, where we use WC space minus L space sed underscore demo1.txt. That's that example file we've been looking at. Then that's piped as a vertical bar space sed space minus E space quote S slash space dot star dollar slash slash close quote. Now we already know that this is an artificial example, but it's here to give you a clue as to how sed works, and hopefully you will understand the regular expression here much more than before. So remember that WC returns, when it's used in this way, the string 1313 space and then the name of the file that it's been given. So running this script, the sed script, against it, then what this does, it replaces the first space and the zero or more characters that follow up to the end of the string. So that's what the regular expression matches. Space dot meaning any character, star meaning zero to infinity instances of that any character, followed by a dollar, which means at the end of the string. And it replaces them by the replacement string is empty, so it deletes that. So it deletes the space and the file name and just leaves the number. So example two is applied to the example file, and it consists of sed space minus E space open quote S slash IS space NO space ARE space NO slash close quote space sed underscore demo1.txt. This fixes the grammar in this file, where there's a sentence that says there is no restrictions, and it replaces it with there are no restrictions. The word restrictions is on the next line, so you can't include that in the regular expression. We can't just change the word is to the word are, because there's other instances of is, but there's only one instance of is no in the text. So we use that as the regular expression, the pattern that we're trying to match. Now we're not making permanent changes to the file with this command. You can do this to demonstrate what sed will do. It's often a good thing to make sed do this type of thing and to see the results, to prove that the expression that you, the sed program, the sed script that you're constructing, actually works. But I've shown, since it's a 13-line file, you don't really want to run it against the, you don't want to see the entire file every time you make one small change like this. So I have given an example of running this script and then piping the result into grep. Grep, as you hopefully know, is a tool for selecting particular lines from a file based on a regular expression. I'm using an option to grep minus capital A1. What that means is that every time you match the thing I've asked you to match, print the line after it, the one line after it. A1 means the line after, one line. It could be A2 and you get two lines after. And the regular expression I'm matching is the string arno, A-R-E space N-O. So what I get back is the line that's changed, the line that begins with produced by the community, fellow listeners like you, and then ends with there are no. So it's changed is no to are no on that line. And then, just to give more context, I get the line following it, so I see the full text is there are no restrictions on how long the show can be, as opposed to there is no restrictions on how long the show can be. We'll look at how sed can alter a file and save the results back to it in the next episode, actually. Example 3 does the same as example 2. It changes this is no to are no, but it also changes the word topic to topics, makes it plural. And it does this by simply offering two expressions in the command line. So it's minus E followed by the string, the command we were looking at before, followed by another minus E, followed by the S command, which is open quote S slash topic space slash topics, T-O-P-I-C-S space slash close quote. And it's running this again, of course, on sed underscore demo1.txt. So it fixes the same fragment as we did before, but it also fixes the phrase "the topic you can cover," because it really should be a plural there, because later on in the sentence the word "they" is used to refer back to the topic, and it obviously should be a plural. In the regular expression we're trying to match, we're matching topic space, and we're doing this because the word topics with an S occurs later in the file, so we would hit that one as well and turn it into topic scissors if we didn't make it specific by adding a space to the end. So this is just really to demonstrate how you can use multiple commands in a sed call. But you don't have to put a minus E followed by another minus E. You can actually put them both of the two S commands in one string of quoted material, but you separate them with semicolons. I mentioned semicolons before in the context of the minus F option. So you see the final example is the same two S commands, but separated from one another with a semicolon. I didn't know about this when I first started using sed. Fair time ago, I have to admit, but I didn't know you could use multiple commands in one line. You will see in many cases people who are not aware of this, they call sed multiple times to process the same text. So you'd see sed minus E something, name of file, pipe that into sed again and make another change, and pipe that into sed again and make another change. And that's not very efficient. It's calling sed multiple times. It's much more elegant to do it all in one go, or indeed put all the commands in a file if you're doing something complex. So example 4, we're going to do something that's not really very practical, but just to demonstrate, we're going to change the word hacker into hobby, and we're going to change hackers into hobbyists. So we've got sed space minus E space open quote S slash hacker space slash hobby space slash semicolon S slash hackers with an S slash hobbyists slash quote space sed underscore demo 1.txt. So there's one instance of the word hacker and one instance of the word hackers in the plural. We don't want hackers to be turned into hobbies, which is silly. So we differentiate the two instances in the way I've shown. So example 5 is going over the similar ground again, but doing a few more odds and ends to it. And what we've got here is one quoted string containing 4 sed commands. So we changed the is no to are no, we changed the topic to topics, and then I also change all the full stops to full stops followed by spaces, that is, to a full stop followed by double space. That was just for demonstration purposes. It used to be that in typing material like this, a full stop should always be followed by 2 spaces, but that's going back to manual typewriters and stuff. Don't think anybody cares about that these days. And the final S command is to replace every space with a hash mark. So that's S slash space slash hash mark slash G. So that means for each line that sed sees, do this to it. So it fixes the grammatical issues that I was fixing before. The double spacing is just silly, really. And very silly is turning all the spaces into hash marks using a G flag to process everything. But what it really shows is that all of these commands, because there's 4 sed commands here, all of these commands are applied in turn to each line. So remember, sed is pulling each line from the file into its pattern space. It's looking at the list of commands that it's stored, and it's applying them all in sequence to the line, and then it's writing it out. So it's if you get into the stage where you're putting multiple sed commands together on one line, you should really be looking at putting them in a file. That four is probably a reasonable number to put on the line. But the point is that what we've got here is a little sed program, effectively, which is applying many, many changes throughout a file, or can do anyway. So we're going to look at this in a lot more detail later on in this series, which is really why I included it. Okay, well, that's it. I hope you found that interesting, and you'll be back for the next episode whenever that's going to be. Okay then, bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.